And you know what, man, I'm in a baseball kind of mood. I thought, who better to talk to than our guy who is the editorial director of Phillies Nation. You can follow him on Twitter, at Tim Kelly Sports. He's down there in lovely Clearwater, and he joins us right now. Tim, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm great. I mean, Monday and Tuesday I was in Philly, and it was nasty, and here I am Friday night. It's 75 degrees. It's beautiful.
Don't be rubbing it in, Tim, okay? No, today was pretty solid, but yeah, we're about to get crushed tomorrow with rain. But anyway, that's our problem, not your problem. All right, let's start with today, Tim. I a couple of really good takeaways here. One, Ranger Suarez, I thought, looked really sharp, and Bryson Stott appears to be in midseason form, man. So let's start there.
Yeah, Ranger Suarez looked excellent, and I think it should at least be on people's radar. Aaron Nola, his first child is due a few days after opening day, so I think he's the leader in the clubhouse to be the opening day starter. But Ranger Suarez, like, Zach Wheeler would be the obvious next choice, but just based off of the amount of days and when their day is to pitch, Ranger Suarez is actually kind of in position where, if it's not Aaron Nola, it wouldn't shock me if it's him, depending on how things break. So you have that. And then, yeah, I mean, they look really solid today. David Dahl looked good today. I think they had lost a few games in a row previously, but they look solid today this afternoon.
Well, that's and Bryson. Yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
Well, no, I was just going to say Bryson Stott, he's talked about the fact that he's been able to play multiple games in a row in spring training has been big to him. He traveled to Port Charlotte yesterday, which is two and a half hours away in terms of traffic. So he looked really good, and he has all spring. And I kind of think he took a step forward last year to like a 280 hitter. I think he has another step in him.
I just go real quick, Tim. Let's go back to what you're saying. I thought it was interesting. Nola kind of deferred to say Wheeler should be the opening day starter. Was that just him trying to compliment his, you know, his teammate and his buddy, or do you like, what do you think the Phillies would do if Nola isn't on paternity leave?
If he's on paternity, I still would tend to think one way or another it's Wheeler, but it wouldn't shock me if it's Ranger Suarez. Wheeler is typically a little bit of like slower to build up at the beginning of the season. So I think it would be Wheeler, if not Nola, but okay. Suarez is at least a possibility. My guess is it's still going to be Aaron Nola, but we'll see what happens.
I mean, that is a really strong 1-3. I feel like Nola is going to have a bounce back regular season. I know last year was not his best, that's for sure. But I feel like the adjustments, and you tell me what the talk's been down there, the adjustments that he made at the end of the season with the pitch clock and some of the other things, I feel like that just carries right over here.
I agree completely. And some things in sports don't have to make sense. For whatever reason, Aaron Nola has been significantly better in even years than odd years. Hmm. And this is an even year. So, I mean, based off of what he did, it wasn't just in the playoffs. It was the final few starts of the regular season last year. It took him time more than anyone to kind of get adjusted to that pitch clock. I do think he'll be much better than he was a year ago.
All right, the big news this week, and it kind of got lost in the Kelsey shuffle here, but 3-year extension for Zach Wheeler, and yes, I think it's $42 million a year, but I mean, this couldn't have been more perfect for both sides. He gets paid, you know, in a big way, gets the extension. He's not dealing with the last year of it this year. And from a Phillies perspective, you know, he's up at, what, 37 or whatever it is, you know, and at that point, you just never quite know. This, to me, was like a match made in heaven.
Yeah, I think it was a perfect deal for both sides. I know some people were surprised by the deal, but Max Scherzer a few years ago was a free agent. He was a couple years older than what Zach Wheeler was, and he got 3 years, 130. So I get Zach Wheeler didn't test the open market, and he doesn't have the career accolades of Max Scherzer. But if you take the last 5 years before Scherzer became a free agent, and you take the last 5 years Zach Wheeler's had, they're pretty similar. Zach Wheeler's been, if not the best pitcher in baseball over the last 5 years, he's 2-3-4 right in that mix. So, you know, you never know how power pitchers are going to age. He could come out this year and hit a wall, but he's been not only excellent in terms of he's a power pitcher, but excellent in terms of his ability to go deep in games and pitch 180 to 200 innings every year.
We're speaking with Tim Kelly, and you can follow Tim's work on Twitter, at Tim Kelly Sports. He's also the editorial director of Phillies Nation. and does great work for Bleacher Report as well. So, Tim, let's just from someone who's been, you know, around there and kind of boots on the ground as opposed to us back here, give me a pleasant surprise, somebody or someone that stood out either way for you that you've seen thus far. Could be even a guy who may not even make the roster, but he's a name to watch out for.
Yeah, I mentioned David Dahl a little bit ago. He's someone that was an all-star with the Rockies, and he's kind of in that competition with Jake Cave and Christian Pache for the final roster spot, so he would be one guy. Gregory Soto, to me, I don't know if it's a surprise to me, but he's someone, he looked electric. He struck out all three batters he faced today, and he's somebody, like, the ERA doesn't look great last year, but he wasn't in camp early on because he had visa issues, and then beyond that, if you look at his, if you break down his numbers from last year, he actually had quite a few. He had six or seven starts where he kind of had blow ups, six or seven relief appearances where he kind of had blow ups. And then outside of that, he was pretty dominant, like not allowing hits and outings. So I think if he can limit those blow ups this year, he's someone to me that could become a huge part of that bullpen. And, you know, whatever happened with Craig Kimbrell in the playoffs last year, he pitched a lot of games and pitch at a high level for a good portion of the summer. They're going to need someone to kind of step up and fill that role, and I think Gregory Soto is probably the number one candidate.
Yeah, because let's face it. I mean, we do go in with some question marks here. Soto's one of them. I don't know what to make of Sir Anthony, frankly, after last year. Can the younger guys, you know, like Kirkering or, you know, a guy who certainly flashed and came on big time for them, like Jeff Hoffman, you know, are these guys ready to really take on that role? You know, I'm talking about high leverage situations back end of the bullpen, in your estimation.
Yeah, I think they have a lot of, like, if you just go like 1 through 8 in their bullpen, there's a lot of talent. Is there that, like, the guy that you go to in the 9th inning and say the game's a wrap? I think the question is still out on that. And whether it had been Josh Hader or whether it's someone at the trade deadline this year, that to me is still the point of the roster that I look at and say, if you can have Dominguez, Alvarado, Jeff Hoffman, kind of utilize them 6 through 8, and then have a guy in the 9th where you know the game's a wrap when he comes in, that is the one area on the roster. Maybe that emerges internally. Mm-hmm. If not, though, I think it's something that becomes kind of priority number one at the trade deadline.
Yeah, and I think, Tim, like, I think it can work that way. I mean, obviously, you'd prefer to have a, you know, Mariano Rivera, who wouldn't? But as long as these guys know their roles, it's not, you know, it's, hey, I might need you in the 7th. I might need you in the 8th, whatever. Granted, somebody gets on a roll, then it becomes obvious, like Kimbrell did last year. But I think these guys, this works this way, at least for this group, because let's face it, nobody's really stood out enough to earn it yet.
Right, and you don't have somebody on the roster. Last year, if Kimbrell wouldn't have been the 9th inning guy, it's like, wow, you have one of the best closers of all time, and you're not consistently utilizing him in the 9th inning. The Phillies don't have a guy that's in the top 10 all-time in saves this year in their bullpen. So there's nobody coming in that's expecting it. And I think most pitchers at this stage, like 5 or 6 years ago, there were a lot of veterans that were like, I'm used to pitching in a specific role. I think guys that come up now know you're going to pitch where you pitch, be ready from the 5th or 6th inning on. And you've kind of seen that adjustment in a mentality sense from a lot of these guys, that they're fine pitching the 7th inning, the 9th inning, the 6th inning, wherever need be, because I think it's understood now the highest leverage point is not always in the 9th inning.
Right.
But the flip side of that is it still is different to pitch in the 9th inning than any other inning. So if you're going to use Jose Alvarado in the 7th, you need to have somebody in the 9th that you feel comfortable with.
And by the way, Tim, yeoman's work for whatever's going on around you. You're staying locked in, man. Like, what is happening, man? I'm hearing, like, screams. I'm worried about you.
There's somebody doing wheelies in front of me, and it's a little distracting, but I'm making it work.
No, you're killing it, man. You're killing it. We're proud of you. All right, so let's hit a couple other things. I personally am not worked up about this, but some don't appreciate, you know, what Bryce Harper had to say to Todd Zielecki about, you know, the fact that Snell and Montgomery are still out there and, you know, we could grab one of those guys up. And, you know, they look at it as kind of a diss towards Sanchez and potentially towards Sanchez and Walker. And frankly, I'm not all that worried about what Taijuan Walker and Christopher Sanchez think. But where do you fall on what some of the things that Bryce had to say?
Yeah, I would agree with you. I mean, the reality is, Bryce Harper's represented by Scott Boras, so are Blake Snell and Jordan Montgomery. I think, if anything, that's probably the bigger takeaway. But sure, he'd love to have Blake Snell or Jordan Montgomery on the team. I don't think either is especially likely, especially Blake Snell. I don't think they're going to sign because he has a qualifying offer attached and they'd have to give up draft compensation to sign him. But I think it's kind of forgettable comment, honestly. Realistically, I don't think they sign either one of those. But if there's good players out there and your best player says, hey, maybe we can sign one of those two, I don't think it's really that big of a deal.
Do you – I frankly, the guy I have the least amount of confidence – like, I think I'm what Sanchez gave him last year was great. I mean, I'm not sure what it's going to look like this year. I'm willing to kind of let it play out. I don't have a lot of confidence in Taiwan Walker, but how do you view him going into this season?
Yeah, I mean, things did not end on a great note last year in the playoffs. He's somebody to me that, like, and I don't even mean this as a diss, teams need a guy that is like a regular season arm that logs 160, 170 innings. That's very valuable.
Right.
If he isn't able to improve his velocity early in games, I think his season in 2024 is going to end a lot the same way that it did in 2023, where he's just not used in the playoffs because you can't go into Atlanta or Los Angeles or Arizona or wherever and have somebody throwing 88 or 89 miles an hour in the first inning. That's just, it is what it is. It's great on April 10th if you give up a couple runs in the first inning and then you settle in and you pitch six or seven innings. That's great. In the playoffs, you might be out of the game after the first inning if you do that. So
yep.
He's just going to have to make that adjustment. He's a veteran pitcher. He's accountable. I think he will try to make that adjustment. I don't think the problem was like a lack of him wanting to do it, though, last year. As you age as a pitcher, you don't throw as hard. That's going to have to change this year, or he's going to have a season pretty similar to last year where he's a factor in the regular season and then probably not in the picture in the playoffs.
All right, Tim, let's go to the outfield here because it's interesting. It's a good problem in that they have more depth than they've had certainly in years past. But you have Rojas. You have Marsh coming off the injury. You have Pache. You have Cave. Whit Merrifield is certainly going to get his touches out there for sure, you know, among other places. We know he's versatile. There's Weston Wilson, who I like a lot. How do you see it shaping up here, and who do you think is the odd man out, or who's going to be in?
Yeah, it's interesting. I was talking to Jake Cave today, just kind of like, what is your mindset knowing either you're going to get this spot or chances are, and this goes for Pache too, because they're both out of options.
Right.
So it's either you get this spot or you're probably on another team in 2 weeks. And it's just kind of you got to keep your head down. And the crazy thing is David Dahl's now emerged as the guy that I think is at least in the discussion for that spot as well. So it's a good problem to have from the Phillies sense, because if you go back to the Phillies 7 or 8 years ago, you have multiple guys that are not going to make this team that probably would have been opening day starters in 2015.
You're exactly right. Yep.
I mean, it sucks for the players, but I think in terms of the guys that you have some good depth. Pache, whatever you think about him as an offensive player, is one of the best fielders in the league. Jake Cave can play all three outfield positions and has some pop. And David Dahl had some really good years in Colorado. So I think they're in a situation where you're going to have to pick one of those, and the other two guys are going to be on major league teams somewhere else.
Off the top of your head, is Dahl out of options too? Do you know?
Well, he signed to a minor league deal.
They would have
to add him to the 40-man roster. So
gotcha.
They would have to really feel strongly about him. But he's put together some good at-bats this spring. I don't think if you want a guy coming off the bench that's a left-handed hitter that can be an impact, he's probably the best guy. Right. If you want someone to be versatile, Cave or Pache, I mean, Pache is just so good defensively. You would hate to give him up, but he is a little redundant if Johan Rojas is also on the roster.
Right, makes sense. Tim, keep it up, man. They're back at it tomorrow, but keep up the good. And we're going to get Taiwan Walker tomorrow, correct?
Yes.
So we haven't seen. He's had a sore knee and he's been sick, right? Is that why he hasn't pitched thus far?
Yeah, he had a few days off for personal reasons at one point, and then he had a sore knee. So it was a little surprising that he ended up being scheduled tomorrow, because initially it sounded more like he was going to pitch Monday. But yeah, we'll see. It sounds like he's going to go two innings tomorrow, and we'll see what it looks like.
All right, brother. Great work out of you, man. Nothing distracts you, Tim. You're locked in, dude. You're in mid-season form, man. Keep it up. Tim, good work, man. Appreciate a couple
All right.
minutes.
Thanks, Rob.
All right, brother. Have fun. That is Tim Kelly, editorial director of Phillies Nation. All right, good information there from Tim.